Welcome to the Digital Creator Podcast, a show where we spotlight students working on cool digital projects. I'm Allie, a consultant at the Digital Knowledge Center, where we empower students to be digital creators. Today's guests were inspired by 2008 internet culture and created a webcomic showcasing some aspects of what the web used to look like.
My name is Liam Kiley. I go with he, him pronouns. My major is in international affairs and geography with a minor in conflict and security studies. I'm also a 2023 grad. I just finished my at least first leg of my thesis, and so I hopefully will be done very soon.
My name is Eugene Lang. I use he, him pronouns, and my graduating class is 2023. I am taking my last semester right now. I double majored in historic preservation and accounting with a minor in museum studies.
Congratulations to both of you. So how did you guys connect, and at what point were you like, hey, webcomic, let's do it?
So we met
It's a long process.
It's a really long time. I think that we've been friends for over 10 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, so we met in, summer between fourth and fifth grade, right? At an archaeology camp at William and Mary that we went to. And I chased Liam around with a pen, allegedly. I don't believe it, but this has been the common narrative.
Mm-hmm. I do remember that happening.
Yeah, and I don't.
So we met in that summer at that little camp. It was only for a week, though. And when we, properly got to know each other was because we happened to go to the same middle school. I think we, show up the first day. I arrive in, an algebra class or something like that.
You arrived
pre-algebra 2 or
pre-algebra,
something.
Pre-algebra, yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, I remember you.
Yeah. So we became friends in the sixth grade, really close friends, and then we stopped talking to each other because Liam didn't Skype me for the summer, which is a very 2012 sentence to say.
Yeah,
and then we reconnected again. We were sort of enemies for 2 years, and we reconnected again in the ninth grade.
But you didn't talk to me for a few months. But then we did start talking to each other again.
In German class.
In German class the same year.
Yeah.
So we did talk to each other in the seventh grade. We just weren't that close.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so yeah, we would kind of talk occasionally. And then towards high school proper, we started talking again because we were both in the same club,
mm-hmm.
Which was Model United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah. But yeah, it just so happened to happen, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, kind of by chance, we both went to the same college.
So you guys didn't coordinate that.
No.
It just happened.
It just happened. I didn't tell because I went here because of the museum studies and historic preservation program. I don't think I told Liam for 2 weeks after I made the decision. I didn't really know if you were really going to UMW at that point either. It was just sort of a thing that happened.
Yeah, we were just kind of winging it. And so we ended up at the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ended up working on, carrying forward some of the stuff we did in high school.
Can you describe a little bit your webcomic, what it's about, maybe what inspired it, just anything that you'd want the people to know about what you guys are doing?
Okay, so I guess just to start off, a lot of the webcomic creation process and most creation processes are just a series of what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, we were like, what if there was a guy who sucked really hard? But also going all the way back to about a year ago when we initially brought up the project just at all, we were like, all right, what if there was a guy who was making a two gamers on a couch kind of webcomic? He hated Obama so much. And he got so mad that he won that he just kind of left the internet and stopped making his whole thing. And it was kind of a joke to just be like, oh, yeah, that doesn't happen in a two gamers on a couch webcomic. But eventually we were like, no, actually, that'd be kind of a fun way to mix together some of our interests for the creation of a webcomic. We've been expanding on it since.
Pretty much that day we kind of sat on the idea and because Liam said, it was just sort of a joke that was thrown out. And for the rest of the day, we just kept drawing little pictures of, what the, guy, would look like and how he would draw himself and, what kind of jokes he would make. We were making little comics and stuff. And we would bring it up every now and then after that as just like a, oh, this is something that, you know, we should maybe work on, because Liam and I have been talking about working on projects for a while. It's just that we didn't really, because we were full-time students and there's not very much time for working on, you know, projects for fun. So it wasn't until, I think, mid-summer this year that we learned about the DKC fellowship, and I hit Liam up and was like, hey, this is, you know, what we're doing is digital. We're going to need a website. We're going to have to make the comics digitally. It is, in a form, a narrative about internet subcultures in 2008. So what if we did this? And, you know, we had this kind of back and forth about whether or not they would accept it, because, you know, being like, yeah, we're going to make a comic about a guy who really hates Obama, it's not really something you get, like, a fellowship for. but we emailed Carlin, and he said it was cool, and then we just started up on it circa 3 months ago now.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit more about how you found out about the fellowship. Did someone tell you about it? Did you just stumble upon it? How did you first learn about it?
Yeah, that's all you.
Yeah, I need to remember. I think that it was at the time I was working on my own thesis, which was about the archiving methods of cyberstalking communities online. And I was thinking, okay, well, you know, this is really interesting. This is kind of like digitally focused. And I was looking around for resources that UMW might have specifically about the internet and internet subcultures. And I followed a rabbit hole somehow. I really do not understand where that went. But at some point, I got to the DKC's website and then followed another rabbit hole of like, ooh, what resources do they have? I've been here for 4 years and I never really took advantage of any of them. I'm a little curious now. And I saw that they had a fellowship. And I was like, well, what's that about? So I sort of looked at that, I think, around the end of when I was working on my thesis. And it wasn't until the middle of summer when I was kind of like looking around at stuff again, because I knew that this upcoming semester I'd only have one class to take. I was like, okay, so now I guess this is the time to take advantage of those, you know, DKC resources. And I was like, oh, the fellowship, that's a thing that's around that I remember thinking about 2 months ago. Why not bother Liam about it?
So with any project, there's bound to be some obstacles, challenges. Can you guys think of any specific moment where you just hit a bump in the road, and how did you overcome that in your process of making the webcomic?
Ooh.
Or distributing it or anything like that?
I guess I'll start off with one, which is it's a difficult one to overcome because it was mainly about like it really just time management, I think. Just trying to make sure that you're working on the things you need to when you need to. And that's definitely been a challenge in the past. And so, like, you know, even to now, just trying to split up your time between, you know, different things. Like, you know, I was again, working on my thesis for the vast majority of this semester. And it can be quite involved. And so naturally, you can get a bit kind of, you know, one-track-minded about it. And I certainly know that, especially if you're, like, just working or if you're just focusing on, like, one or two classes, you can kind of allocate almost all of your time towards that one thing. So you're like, well, it's more important. You know, it's like, oh, it's more immediate. But over time, we were just kind of like, well, one of the things that really helped was as we were kind of, like, talking about our different, like, methods of making things, we were talking about like our different methods, like the Gene method and the Liam method. And one of the things that really helped me was the Liam method is kind of throwing everything that you can at the wall and seeing what sticks. But it also allows for you to kind of throw whatever you want at the wall whenever you choose to. So, you know, I'll be in the middle of working on something, and I have been in the middle of working on something and then been like, I should probably just like work for like 5 minutes on this thing. And you just chip away piece by piece on, you know, what is ultimately a creative project that requires just pieces of different things that we throw together through either like, you know, fake forum posts or through, you know, just like, you know, bits and pieces of like, you know, the character's story, you know, bits of dialogue through like, you know, instant messengers and things like that become a lot easier if you just kind of go like, you'll always have like a little bit of time on top of whatever the thing is that's dominating your schedule. So that's at least been somewhat helpful. It's just being like, let's just throw everything that we can, together and find the time actually to move around it rather than just making a definitive schedule and being like, oh yeah, that's the only time I will work on it.
Yeah, and in a kind of opposite way, having a definitive schedule of when I was going to work on it worked better for me because I, in this past semester, was, had my last class, but also was working full-time in Richmond. So a lot of that time was used commuting. So having, for me personally, okay, I'm going to get back from work, and I know for a fact that I have to work on this, and there's nothing else that I'm allowed to work on for, 2 or 3 hours, just every now and then, once, twice a week or something like that. Just between the stuff that I was doing and, the commuting was helpful for the way that I worked, where, when we talked about the Gene and Liam method, the Gene method is a lot more focused on, this, larger sort of narrative arc of, okay, our protagonist starts off here, and we know that there's, this triggering action point that's going to happen. So what is that triggering action point? What's going to happen in the in-between? And it was really helpful that we could that our methods of working kind of complemented each other in that way, because Liam could sort of just throw out okay, this, and this should happen, and, here's 10 different comic ideas. And it was really nice for me to say, okay, well, I have this graphed out of our protagonist is here, he needs to be here. Let me take three of those ideas and try to place them in this narrative. So that was really nice.
It's kind of helpful if one of us, again, I say one of us, for myself, for the organization to come afterwards, and for him, the organization to come before. Because in that way, while he's tracking things along, I can say, well, this would be interesting to happen here. Or, while I'm writing everything that I can out and have a billion little notes, he can say, well, it'd be interesting for this to happen, at this point, or you probably shouldn't include that, or it's like, I don't know what that is, that kind of thing.
So in terms of the actual digital creation of the webcomic, how do you two work together? Is there one who mainly does the art aspect? Do you both contribute to that? Just speak to that, and how did you guys land on that? Did it come naturally, or was, did anybody ask to do something?
Yeah, so we pretty much, the way we split it up came pretty naturally when it came to the art. We already knew that I was going to be the one mainly taking control of the character design, how things are going to look, stuff like that. We kind of just naturally ended up having Liam do a lot of the writing in the perspective of the archivist. The secret about Liam is that he's a very good writer. So he kind of ended up really embodying that perspective really well, especially because this is set in 2008. It's about a subculture that neither of us were really super involved in. It kind of made sense that, okay, I would sort of deal with the art direction of stuff, look at content from 2008 and comics from 2008, see how they work together, see what are the trends at the time for digital artists. And it made more sense for Liam to kind of look at, okay, what's the vocabulary of the time that they're using? What's the slang? What's, what games are they playing and how are they talking about it?
No, figuring out that split is something that's that does come kind of simply if you definitely just kind of accept. It's like I probably can't not work on that part. It comes with an aspect of our the way that the comic is set up, that we have multiple narrators. So we have our main little guy who's annoying and writes his little gaming webcomic. And then we have our archivist who runs the website, who speaks to the context that he wrote his little thing in, and everyone's reactions to it. Because Gene was talking about the cyberstalking community that he was studying, we were incorporating part of that kind of internet harassment aspect to it as a method of internet preservation in a way. So the archivist keeps track of the forum posts and those instant messaging chats and, screenshots of artwork in the process, and saved images and, what have you. and then putting that below the actual comic itself. And so, like, you know, when it comes to, like, a lot of, you know, the work that goes into it, it's really threefold. It's, like, a lot of writing. It's a lot of the website itself to make sure it looks, you know, to the period. Then the actual comic, which, again, you were just, like, I'll see Gene, I'll look over to him working on, like, a computer, and he'll be reading, like, some awful forgotten webcomic from, like, 2006 that everyone said was both evil and disgusting.
And it was.
And it absolutely will be. It's just like, wonder what kind of little jokes they're making.
Yeah, the biggest learning curve has definitely been how to research what things were like on the internet in 2008 and prior, especially because, you know, right now we're kind of in this Y2K renaissance, mm-hmm. and 2008 is in this, like, weird middle child predicament where it's right after the time period that people are really into when it comes to, oh, Y2K fashion and, you know, whatever. But it's also, like, kind of still recent enough that there's not very much information about it, mm-hmm. That's accurate. So it kind of gets this strange treatment where, you know, 2008 is lumped into what is it like in 2001, like, but at the same time, it's, you know, because we were 7 in 2008.
Yeah, we were 7 years old.
So it's kind of, it's really weird looking at that time period, especially because when it comes to recording that information as well, it's, like, late enough that a lot of internet preservation didn't really seem to take hold at that point. So, you know, with things like Know Your Meme, at least stuff like that, you see a lot of stuff from, like, 2012 and, like, afterwards, or maybe 2010, but it's a lot harder to find things from before that period of time. So it's been really interesting having to get a sense of what this period of time was like that you lived through, but in a very, like, childlike
and
sense.
Gentle.
Yeah, I was 4, so.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because I think there's also a point there to be made. This is something Gene can speak a lot to. But just as a mention, it's like some of the bigger historical events of, like, the housing crisis and, you know, Obama's election. You know, it's like the like Russo-Georgian War, things like that are, like, huge. They're big. You know, so obviously there's historical records. There's books written on these topics. But, you know, on the topic of internet preservation, which is something that, like, you know, we're trying to utilize as a story element, as a narrative, you know, piece, is, like, there's going to be information missing. There's going to be dead links. There's going to be images that aren't available, things that weren't saved at the right time and are inaccessible, and therefore you can't exactly trust the narration to begin with. You know, there's also just that element of, like, a lot of that, you know, stuff is starting to go away, as well as, you know, like, older forums start to kind of go away. They usually just run out of money. And a lot of older platforms for, you know, congregation and whatnot increasingly become either shut down or put behind something else, rebranded, et cetera. So a lot of those kind of firsthand accounts end up kind of going away. In a way, and in a sense, it's almost harder to get those kind of primary sources of, like, what was it like beyond people being like, oh, yeah, I remember it. Kind of based off of, like, historical / like, you know, nostalgic vibes of, like, oh, yeah, we were always talking about scumbag Steve and whatever. it's like, you know, it's kind of funny, but, yeah, that's definitely been a part of it that I think we have tried to incorporate definitively into the narrative, because things are disappearing and it's become a bit harder.
Last question for you guys to wrap things up.
Yeah.
What has been most rewarding for you through this process? What from that, like, what has grown from that for you guys?
I think it's certainly, you know, for the last 4 years that we have been in college, and the last, like, you know, because we have been, like, pretty close for the last, like, 5 years. We have talked about doing a project, like a large scale project together, because we've always been pretty creatively similar, for a while, for the time that we've known each other. We've had generally the same interests, and we just sort of work really well together. So this has been kind of on the back burner for about 4 years. But again, you know, going to school and having our own things to deal with got in the way. So finally being able to say, okay, we're going to work on a creative project together and actually commit to it and to kind of see how all of it is wrapping up, but also learning more about how we work together in, like, you know, the sense of making a creative project has been, it's been very interesting. It's been very rewarding to finally do that after a good number of years knowing each other. It's very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I would definitely say, first off, as a more just shout out to the DKC. Everyone here is really cool. You guys all have really cool stuff. And, you know, you get to mess around with some really awesome things. And that was one thing we kind of learned. We were like, shoot. I mean, granted, we kind of came here during COVID. Like, you know, we had one normal semester and then one half of a semester that then sent us home on, it was like March 12th or whatever in 2020. And from then until just about probably our junior year, I would say, or probably like halfway through our junior year, things finally got, quote unquote, back to normal. So it was kind of unfortunate that we then were like, damn, DKC is cool as hell. we really wish we could have messed around with a lot more of the stuff that was here, you know, before we're leaving now. And it would be kind of weird if we were hanging out here. Yeah, that's definitely been part of it. It's been like, oh, the DKC is really awesome. They have some really cool stuff that we kind of wish more people knew about.
Especially because, you know, both of us, the fields that we're in with Liam in geography and international relations, and me with accounting and historic pres, as much as there is an art to writing about buildings and terrorism, it's not quite the same as making a webcomic. So kind of being able to actually flex those creative muscles that we kind of have let atrophy for a while, it's really nice. It's been really good to see that we're actually kind of capable of committing to this project. And when you're working on something, especially something that's new, like, you learn as much about yourself as you do about, you know, this thing that you're creating with another person. It's neat.
And one last final note. I think that as we've been making this thing about a guy who sucks, I think that we've learned a lot more about the guy who sucks within all of us. And the fact that he's always there making a really crappy webcomic. It's your job to make him make a better one. maybe that's the goal we've learned ourselves. So
maybe the webcomic was the friends we made along the way.
Exactly.
So true. Exactly. So true.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for sitting down with me today. A great conversation. And for those listening, take Liam's advice. Come on down to the DKC. Yep. You never know what you'll find here.
This has been the Digital Creator Podcast. You can find a transcript of our conversation and more about this project below. This podcast was produced and edited by me, Allie Hamilton, with help from the resources at the Digital Knowledge Center. Are you interested in becoming a digital creator? Do you have a cool project you want to share? Go to dkc.umw.edu for information on how to get started. Thank you for listening.